As we gather together this morning, I have a question for you. What is the purpose of the church? Now, if I had a giant whiteboard and some markers, we could probably come up with a laundry list of things. Or perhaps we could have more time spent over a Sunday forum, piecing together what our idea of the purpose of the church is. But if you'll let me, I think we can narrow it down to just four simple words: that Jesus be known. Our gospel lesson for today underscores for us the importance that Jesus be made known and be known to us. That everything we do is derived from that experience. Everything we profess and claim to be is driven by that knowledge and experience of Jesus. That means, my brothers and sisters, that we have to make an audacious and unprovable claim that you and I are gathered here today not because we are a bunch of nice people, which we might be nice people, but that's not the reason why we gather here today. And it's not simply because that we are people of a common mind or of common beliefs. We come here because it is in order to encounter the risen Christ. We gather, as it is prayed in the Book of Common Prayer, that Jesus be present. Be present, O Jesus, our great high priest, as you were present with your disciples, and be made known to us in the breaking of the bread. Amen. To be known, the gathering of the faithful, the proclamation of the word, the celebration of the sacraments are not something we do simply because it is tradition. We don't do it because it makes us feel good. We do it because it is the point source of the church. We do it because it makes Christ known. First to us, and secondly, through us. And what better way than with this story? For isn't the story of Sunday morning not also the Emmaus story? Or at least it's an echo or a mirroring of that beautifully powerful tale of death, resurrection, and revelation. Perhaps our lives themselves are the Emmaus story. I don't know about you, but life seems to wind through periods of confusion, pain, and loss. And this can even include the loss of faith or the loss of hope. More often than not, these experiences are not mine. They may not be yours, but rather they're realities of loved ones or close friends, perhaps acquaintances or co-workers. And whether these experiences are ours or not, they are realities of life. The Emmaus story stems from the reality of confusion, pain, and loss. Now, these two disciples were basically nobodies. Fringe disciples at worst, and at best, they're just outside the original 12. And they find themselves, post-Passover, wandering home with their tails between their legs and their hopes of Israel's redemption crushed like the dirt under their feet. The world they knew has been turned inside out and upside down. The loss of Jesus and their hopes is almost too much to bear. The pain is palpable. in their downcast eyes. Eyes that Jesus doesn't allow to recognize him until after he has played naive, opened scripture to them, and broken bread with them, moving from guest to host and opening their eyes to the proof of his rising. This story of Emmaus resonates with a sense of the church and its mission, of the tremendous power of the word and the sacraments to connect us with the presence of God. This Emmaus model, as it were, is reflected in our liturgy itself, with the proclamation of the word and the celebration of the Eucharist. When we gather and worship, we gather to hear the proclamation of the word, to have our hearts burn with the fire of the Holy Spirit, just as those disciples declared. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? We in turn hear the stories of faith, as well as faithful proclamations of what the scriptures have to say about who God is, what God has done, and who we are in light of all this. When we gather around the altar of the sacrament, invited to the table by the Lord, we come as humble guests. It is here that we encounter the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread, just as he revealed himself to the disciples at Emmaus. And in light of this story, what is revealed to us in the breaking of the bread should give us great pause. The image of God we see and encounter in the sacrament of the altar is a God that walks alongside human confusion, human pain, and human loss. The story of Emmaus invites us to expect God to find us. The story of Emmaus challenges us to see that it isn't just our unshakable faith and deep spirituality that connects us to the risen Christ. You know, I never thought about it before, but the road to Emmaus serves well as a funeral text. And as I was presiding over my grandmother's graveside service yesterday, the strands just seemed to weave themselves together. We find ourselves in the place of the disciples. We find ourselves struggling to deal with the reality of loss, the realization of the finality of death, the end of things hoped for, a few more days, hours, or minutes, perhaps just one more hand of cards. For the disciples, Jesus was dead, and their hopes and dreams of a Savior had appeared to die with him. On top of all this, they were on their own. They had left the community of the disciples. But what do they encounter on the road? But a companion. A companion who reveals to them all that God has done through Christ Jesus throughout the scriptures. How God has been with his people all along. For us, the grief of loss, the pain of life, the struggles we deal with, we find in Christ and through his church, we find a redeemer. A redeemer who walks with us in our journey of faith, on our journey of life. And as he was made known to the disciples, he is made known to us. How truly audacious or audacious is that claim? How audacious is this claim of faith that the very Alpha and Omega becomes known to us in this sharing of the stories of salvation, but even more so in the breaking of bread, in this common grain of earth set at tables all over the world. All this to be known to us, in order to be made known to the world through us. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the entire purpose of the church, that Jesus be known, that Jesus may be known in the companionship which we share with those who are dealing with confusion, pain, and loss in their lives, that Jesus be known in our care for the widow, the orphan, and the poor, that Jesus may be known in the gathered assembly where the word is proclaimed and the meal is shared, that Jesus may be known through our love of neighbor and our love of God, that Jesus may be known by our invitation to those who haven't yet experienced an encounter with the risen Christ, that they may join us and join in at the table for the breaking of the bread. This is what makes us the church. This is what differentiates us from a social club or a nonprofit trying to do good in the world. Through our prayers, our service, and our worship, we ask that Jesus be known to us, be known through us, and be known in the world by us. This is what it means to be the church. So may we continue to gather, to proclaim the word, and to see Christ revealed in the breaking of the bread. Amen.